Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, as usual. And, Jim, our good news comes out of MSNBC. There was a little bit of a shakeup there yesterday. Little is a relative term there. Daytime hosts Ronan Farrow and Joy Reid had their shows canceled, and there's plenty of rumors floating around this morning that in the primetime lineup, Chris Hayes may be next. That's not the good news, although we're not going to really miss them necessarily. And in fact, Farrow and Reid are going to stay with the network in other roles, just not having their own shows. But here's the best part. In the longer term, sources from MSNBC said the Reverend Al Sharpton, a larger-than-life personality who attracts a large African-American audience, could be eventually removed from his weeknight 6 p.m. slot to a weekend time period, as MSNBC president Phil Griffin attempts to reverse significant viewership slides by accentuating straight news over left-leaning opinion. Quote, everybody in the food chain from top to bottom understands that the Olbermann era is over, said an MSNBC source, referring to the glory days during George W. Bush's administration, when incendiary liberal Keith Olbermann regularly attracted a million viewers, many of them seeking refuge from the White House and Republican talking points. The MSNBC source said, quote, going left was a brilliant strategy while it lasted and made hundreds of millions of dollars for Comcast, but now it doesn't work anymore. The goal is to move away from left-wing TV. Of course, mainstream news is still pretty left, but Jim, the fact that they're realizing this hardcore push to the left is resulting in disastrous ratings and they might actually try real news again is pretty good news.
About as good as you could get if they really go through with it. And as you pointed out, that the MSNBC version of straight news might be kind of different from our interpretation of straight news. But, you know, here's the thing. I think what it had become, if, you know, 10 years ago, you and I had said, yeah, you know, in a couple of years, the MSNBC lineup is going to consist of Chris Hayes, Ronan Farrow, Joy Reid, Al Sharpton. Joy Reid, here's the thing. You know, like, there are a lot of, you know, she said a lot of outrageous things, but I've been on TV with her once. We're talking about Libya, and the moment I questioned the intervention in Libya, she accused me of supporting Gaddafi and Gaddafi's reign of terror against his people. All right? There are a lot of words I could use to describe her that I will refrain from. But, like, you would talk about just the ultimate bad faith, go on the attack, put words in your mouth, demagogic approach to television news and commentary. So I'm not crying any tears about the end of the Joy Reid show. Maybe MSNBC has worked. I mean, one of the things I've noticed is that it's not just that these are left-wing people, and often like angry left-wing people. I mean, remember the story that Ed Schultz once threatened to burn down the building because he was left out of a promo?
Yes.
We've all seen Lawrence O'Donnell fume at people and threaten to punch people and stuff like that. You know, these people don't need higher ratings. They need an intervention. Any change at MSNBC is probably going to be a good one. And the flip side of that, I also noted, is that, look, it's not just that they're very left-wing people and they're very incendiary people and they're very angry people and they're quick to demonize. You know, they're generally not good television. Al Sharpton generally wrestles with his teleprompter every day and loses. we talked about Reid. I had heard about Farrow and then I watched him. There's two sins in television. One is to be wrong, you know, as Brian Williamson, but the other one is to be boring. And I don't think that even if you said, okay, you have to be liberal, this was particularly good television. So the bigger the change at MSNBC, probably the better. It's nice to see they're not endlessly going to support the status quo. And who knows, maybe we'll actually get some better television out of it.
On to the bad martini now, Jim. And this comes to us from the Daily Mail in the UK. A massive operation to retake Iraq's second largest city from the Islamic State using up to 25,000 Iraqi troops will likely begin in April or May, according to a senior U.S. military official. The official from U.S. Central Command said the operation would involve 12 Iraqi brigades, five of which would be trained for the mission by the coalition in the coming weeks. Those five would make up the core fighting force that would launch the attack. They would be supplemented by three smaller brigades serving as reserve forces, along with three Peshmerga brigades, who would contain the Islamic State fighters from the north and the west. Jim, this is pretty specific for a battle plan that's 2 months in the offing. Why do we know about this?
I actually was hearing in. ISIS. Yeah, this is Central Command. we just wanted to check. We're looking at our calendar and trying to plan out our spring offensive. First week of April is Easter. So we want to give at least a week after that. Some of our troops are Eastern Orthodox, so we can't do any earlier than the 13th. Does Holocaust Remembrance Day on the 16th? Oh, 16th is taxes. Got to get that done. All right. So really, we're looking at May, right? The communists on our side won't want to join for May Day. So how about the 4th? May 4th sound good for you? Oh, that's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. All right. How about the 6th? How's that work? We got Mother's Day. All right. So we're definitely starting the 11th. Does that work for you? Good. We got like a good 2 weeks offensive, and then we got Memorial Day. All right, cool. That is what I imagined it sounds like, the call. So we just don't need the element of surprise, huh, Greg?
I guess not.
Now, the one hand, everybody kind of knows. They talk about spring offensives. You want to spring, you want to fight during the better weather and things like that. Just kind of odd to see this openly announced. Reminds me a bit of when, for a while, we were building up towards the red line, our imminent showdown with Syria that ended up never happening. Because the New York Times was printing the list of targets and everything down to practically the flight paths that the U.S. would use and all that kind of stuff. So very, very strange. I don't mind Central Command saying, you know, when the circumstances are right, we're going to drop the hammer on ISIS, and everybody kind of calculating, okay, it's going to be sometime in spring. But it was just very weird to see this kind of specificity. It's one thing for a military analyst to speculate on this. It's another thing for military sources to say, yeah, this is what we're doing.
Very bizarre. I'm surprised there weren't like flanking maneuvers that were discussed there as well.
Maybe Geraldo could draw him a map.
Well, he didn't get the job with Trump, so he's got the time now. So.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Very good. All right. Well, staying in the Middle East, this story's from the Washington Free Beacon. If it wasn't so serious, it would actually be very funny. The Iranian foreign minister, the lead negotiator in nuclear talks with the United States, has been rebuked by the Supreme Ayatollah Ali Khamenei to stop shouting and yelling at Secretary of State John Kerry during negotiating sessions. Iranian Foreign Minister Javad Zarif told his country's state-controlled media in a recent interview that Khamenei has instructed him to stop yelling at Kerry and other top U.S. officials during the talks. Reports about Zarif's temper first emerged back in the Iranian press in November, when the U.S. and Iran agreed to extend talks through June of this year. Zarif has said to frequently shout at Western diplomats with such force that bodyguards have been forced to enter the negotiation room. An Iranian diplomat who is also a member of the negotiating team is reported to have said in an interview that during the past negotiations in Geneva, Zarif shouted at Kerry and spoke to him in a manner unprecedented in the history of U.S. diplomacy. So sounds like there's a lot of give and take going on here, Jim.
Listeners probably ought to know that, you know, each morning we're putting this together. You send me a couple of ideas. This is the one that had me laughing out loud. That when it reaches that, when I just see the headline, you know, Iranians pledges to stop yelling at John Kerry. Then I kind of like, okay, this is something good here. Because here's the thing. You and I are pretty staunch foes and critics of the Iranian regime. We don't believe that a true peace is manageable. We don't believe that they can be trusted with any type of nuclear program. Greg, when you saw that the Iranian negotiator had been yelling at John Kerry a lot, did you feel like we were building a bridge? I started to understand this guy a little bit. We've all been there. We've all wanted to yell at John Kerry. We've all found him impossible to work with. Maybe here there's some common understanding we can reach and, you know, kind of unify all of us in a common spirit of just finding John Kerry insufferable. My guess is he probably started telling Vietnam War stories. And then that Ayatollah, the Mullah guy, just couldn't take it anymore. And he just flipped out. So, yeah, I mean, I guess it's good. You know, the other thing is the fact that he's been yelling at Kerry on a regular basis. Boy, what does that say about how far the negotiations have been going so far?
Apparently, we haven't conceded enough yet.
I was going to say, if it sounds like WWE or you know, an old Geraldo or Martin Downey Jr. show or something like that, dating myself with that reference. Yeah. If it looks like that, probably you're not going to come to a all-encompassing, serious agreement. And, you know, so far, the big agreement they keep coming up with is to keep negotiating, which at some point you're like, okay, you're driving in circles. So then again, you know, I know we're all stunned that negotiations led by John Kerry are going nowhere. We'll all have our hopes, and maybe at some point we and that Iranian negotiator will be able to sit back, have some drinks, well, not some drinks, and just talk about Kerry and share some laughs.
Oh, that's got to be fun with Kerry rambling and him just screaming his head off the whole time. It just instills you with confidence about it.
I was going to say, you feel better about the future already, don't you, Greg?
On that note, Jim, enjoy the rest of what we're considering a deep freeze in this part of the country. I'm sure the Midwesterners have a lot of sympathy for us, and we'll talk again on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. Please join us on Monday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend, everyone.